Hello, everyone, and thanks for tuning in to episode 61 of the Guardian Hub podcast, where we talk Destiny and our love of the game. We bring on different guests and communities to learn about them, their experiences in Destiny, and discuss other topics. Your hosts, as always, are Kingsley Maxson and Des Raven. How are you guys doing tonight?
Magical, as always.
I am feeling alive and well.
That's what we can ask for. Oh, and we have a special guest in the background. Was that Sin's wife?
Thanks. That was caught exactly on recording.
It's all good. Tell her she's a guest for tonight.
You're the new guest host. One sneeze at a time.
Tell her we love her. It's all good.
They said they hate you.
No, come on.
They said they love you.
Anyways, no, it's good. Good we're all here again this week. We're all alive and well. I barely made this recording. I now understand how Sin feels sometimes sliding in the last minute for a recording or a raid that we have planned. I was out driving all day today for it's Memorial Day weekend. I don't know if you guys hear anything, but for me, I was just not doing much. But today decided to go on a drive, and then we're recording on a Sunday, and then tomorrow I'm not going to be doing much. You guys have anything planned?
Work.
Work.
And then maybe grill. Work and grill.
Yeah, I was about to say, I had a surprise 4-day weekend for whatever reason.
Nice.
I mean, I woke up, got ready for work Friday, drove all the way to work, noticed, gee, the parking lot looks pretty empty. I go in and find out, oh yeah, you're not working today. Or Monday. And they're both paid. I'm like, you know, I could have known that yesterday, so I could have slept in. That would have been nice.
Well, at least you still got it off.
Very true. So,
yeah. Well, what have we been up to this week in gaming? Actually, before we get into Destiny, as we always do, Sin, you had a fun little stream. What was it, last night, Saturday night now? Tell us how that went.
Last night, thank you to Xanafan for convincing me to go into The Last of Us and stream it. So last night, I ended up streaming it for about an hour and a half, roughly. And it's actually not too bad. Like, I was expecting more jumps out of it, but I did jump a couple of times, not going to lie. And one of them was over the silliest things. One of them was, like, later on in the game where you're trying to get the kid out of the zone or whatever. And, like, I was hiding behind, and I saw this guy up there, and I was trying to stay out of his sights. And then, like, all of a sudden, he started shooting me while I was behind cover, and I, like, jumped out of my seat a little bit. It was the silliest thing ever, but yeah, it's actually a pretty good game. So it definitely was a good choice.
Yeah. It's it was fun watching you and seeing all that again. I don't know where we were coming up with the idea of like that first scene being like an hour. It really was only about 15, 20 minutes for that first scene, but definitely that little kind of, oh no, that actually happened, you know, right away in the game.
Yeah, that definitely brings some feels up front at the beginning. You wouldn't be expecting that. You would expect that at the end of a game, but not like right up front.
Yeah, you definitely don't expect them to open the game with like that kind of tearjerker.
Yep. Mm-hmm. What else have you been doing in Destiny, Sin? And then we can see what else we've been doing too. But I'm trying to think. You've been working. Do you get your shotgun yet, your Fellwinters?
As of 1 hour ago, I got Fellwinters, and that's done. As I stare at my wife for making a lot of noise right next to me.
Did you? What did you think about that last mission?
That was actually not too bad. The shotgun kills were bloody awful. But after that, you speak to Rasputin, and then you go to the bunker and go down and you kind of get a little backstory. I guess he's, I guess we're talking about Rasputin himself. They talk about this guy or this warrior. And like he went, I guess, on this rampage. And then like when it was all said and done, he looked back and he started, he was weeping, I guess, or crying about all of his this rampage or what a destruction that he went on. So it was kind of neat to hear all that. Des probably knows a little bit more about that lore than I would.
Yeah,
it was good. I enjoyed it. It was the end part was short and sweet.
Nice. Yeah, I do want to mention that a little bit more in a second. Well, cool. Let's just talk about some things that you've been doing, Des. I know we did a raid. Was that actually on Friday when we were talking about not having work?
I believe so.
At Crown of Sorrow during the day, right?
Yeah. I believe that was Friday.
Mm-hmm.
The daytime Crown of Sorrow.
Yeah, it was kind of nice. I wasn't expecting that. And then was that your first official clear, I think? Or I'm trying to remember.
Yes, that was my first full clear of Crown of Sorrow. Second run, so.
Okay, I got to know your opinion. Some people, and I get it, so they usually have this opinion when they haven't passed it or haven't passed it much. They're like, oh, I don't like this raid as much. But what do you think about it? Just your own opinion.
I actually liked it. I mean, I'm kind of one of those weirdos that I don't really mind the fairly mechanically heavy and juggly stuff. So actually I've really had some kind of sick and twisted joy out of especially the last encounter, like just having so much to like concentrate on and have on your mind and things like that. For some reason, raids that really occupy you, I really enjoy.
Well, me too. That's what I was wondering. I feel the same way. And it gives you something interesting to juggle. And then even when you get into a interesting pattern, like I definitely have this, I run this raid a lot with Sin. So he knows too, but you were even mentioning this because it was funny, Sin, one time after we had to bring a guy in for LFG towards the end and I had muted, came back, I never unmuted. And it was funny because GoHawks was even asking, okay, everyone ready? And I know I said I'm ready, but then they were making a comment like, well, no one said they were ready. I'm like, yeah, I did. I thought they were on me. And then we start doing the encounter. And I wasn't saying much anyways, because Des and I had gotten in a pattern. We were buddies on the one side, on dog side. But then we were just kind of getting things done. At some point, I think someone realized, someone realized I was muted. But like, good thing we knew we were already in our pattern. We were just getting what needed to get done.
Yeah, it was actually the moment when we first had the baby boy come out, and I knew we needed a buff. I'm like, I'm not sure if he's muted or not, or if he's just not talking. But I'm just going to say, hey, Kingsley, you're muted, I think. And then he just came through. And it's like,
you can usually tell, right, when someone's muted for a while.
No, it was, like I said, I was just really glad we do kind of have like that. We haven't raided much together recently, like really since D2, but just all the D1 raids and such, I guess, still gave us at least a bit of chemistry to be able to work off one another.
Yeah, and what's really fun in that raid too is when you kind of get into a pattern where you feel comfortable on your own side, that if someone else accidentally died or missed the crystal, you know, like, oh, now's an opportunity. I know I can actually run over and help them, because my side's taken care of for at least the next 15 seconds, you know, so you kind of can run over. And that's where it really is fun, because you're doing these little clutch moves. They're not even that big of a deal. Like, it's not like everyone's dead and you're clutching the last kill on some big raid. But that's what I like about the raid, is what I'm trying to say, is it has that fluidity to it.
Oh, yeah. It actually does remind me a lot of, like, the Atheon encounter in Vogue, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
Because it kind of has
Good.
No, I was about to say, it's like it has the, about the same like things to juggle around with, if as long as I'm remembering the encounter right.
Nice. And I was going to say, I saw that a couple people got Taraba.
Did a couple? I know at least one did, yeah.
Yeah, I know, Helios got it? Or GoHawks? I'm trying to remember.
I think it was GoHawks. I think Helios is, well, yeah, Helios has gotten it recently also, but I think that was earlier. It was GoHawks that got it that day, I think. But yeah, we had that raid. It was me, Des, Washer, GoHawks, AR, Skull Reaper, and then I think school had to leave, and then we brought in an LFG guy, which I will talk a little bit how that went. It went well, by the way, but we have some questions from the community in the Discord, which I'll mention at the end. Just a little follow-up LFG topic from when we've had in the past. But yeah, it was a fun experience.
Nice. Yeah, I know Gohawks did get it, and it was, Helios ended up getting it today at 10 a.m. our time, or my time. Yeah, I saw that pop up.
Yeah, I still don't have it. I don't really like, I'm down to do that raid some more. I'll eventually get it. I don't care, whatever. But definitely familiar enough with that one now that whenever people want to run it, I think that's fun. It's kind of fun to run these little edge case scenarios. Now everyone's kind of like, oh, I need this in this raid, or I need this in this raid. I mean, we're seeing more of the prestige. We ran Friday night, we ran a Last Wish raid on the PC side with Helios and Lars and some other people. I'll pull up here in a second. And then two people had not, Nolzy and Unique had not passed Last Wish yet. And it went very well. I don't think I've brought in two people to Last Wish anytime recently where the raid went that quickly and it went that well. I think we only had one or two encounters where we may have wiped once. And even the end part on Riven, I was a little worried because I'd been in some groups recently where, like, no matter if we do the sword strat or the prospector strat, it's like still kind of like annoying. Like everyone has to be super on point. We have to try it several times. It's just not working out. Like, oh, put on this mod, swap this, do that. But we just kind of messed up the first two times due to like not everyone getting there exactly right or someone dying just accidentally. But then we did it on the second or the third time, no sweat. And I don't even think everyone had we had one person with tractor cannon. Now, we did have the bubble. That's kind of what you need. You got to have the well and the bubble. And maybe the other time I was doing it, we didn't have a bubble. So, yes, Sin Titans are definitely needed in that raid.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
Maybe we should go ahead and plan something for Saturday, because I wouldn't mind running it again. It's been a while.
Yeah, let's do that. It was fun. And then after that, we ran a quick either World's Prestige. The loadout was anything fusion. So, but it wasn't bad because fusion also means linear fusion. So I ran
line in the sand,
auto rifle, and then I ran Telesto and line in the sand. And especially because it was that annoying thing where you have to use all the ammo of one weapon before you can go on to the next
rotate,
weapon.
Rotate.
But the good news is you get free ammo. The bad news is you can only use one weapon at a time. But that made Telesto very, very useful in the raid because you needed something that could just pepper a bunch of ads and explode them if that was your only weapon at the time.
I used it in the sand. Because I found it when we ran it that one time. If you don't want to use that weapon, waste the ammo and move on to the next one. Because it's not like you have to hold on to it for any special reason. You can blow through it and just move on to the next weapon.
Oh, so totally true. Yeah.
So it's definitely unlimited ammo, basically.
Yeah, it's not bad, actually, and we got it done. And the way it was built up is we were having way more problems with the first encounter, mostly because we were getting really bad RNG with the crystals of, like, three voids in a row and then, like, another two or three voids. I'm like, come on. And that took us, like, four times of wiping before we finally got good RNG on the crystals. And then phase two was actually pretty easy. I think we did it in one time. Like three things, but like one time we didn't wipe at all.
Nice.
So I had some fun raiding a little bit more this week than the previous week. If that's what we did, unless there's anything else, Dez or Sin, that you wanted to mention that you did this week in the game?
I was able to trudge my way through comp and finally get Lunas out, or... Lunas?
That's right.
Yes. Nice. Congrats.
That was my chase for Lunas was the reason I started to get the other Crucible Quest weapons. And Lunas ended up being the last weapon I got. So it was very interesting.
and you're still doing it, even though you know the weapon's going to be yanked from your vault and deleted next season, right?
Like I've told
the, you, like can I've, you tell the, like the sarcasm there?
I can, but it's like I've said before. My vault's not changing. I'm gonna chase a weapon that I'm gonna want, and if I find that I love it, I'm still gonna use it. I think I said it last week on podcast. I got Redrix's, and I'm still gonna use it in quick play if I use a high impact pulse rifle. It's just nice.
Nice, nice.
Though I have realized, though, in my chase for these crucible weapons and having to do it in comp, my extreme recent experiences in 3v3 has ruined my quick play, like, talent pretty much entirely. I am
sort of abysmal.
I'm abysmal in Clash now.
Oh. All right, well, Craig is back in action. But, yeah, Des, you were saying about Clash and threes and your experience in it lately.
Well, I've noticed that kind of as my mentality in comp and threes has grown, I'm expecting way too many times to actually be able to fight in 1v1s in quick play, which, you know, when it's 6v6, ain't going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You're always getting jumped by somebody. You're always getting interrupted if you stay like that hyper-focused that tends to help in threes, or at least tends to help me.
Makes sense. Have you done much Rumble in lately or in D2 in general?
Well, considering this season is when I did the Rumble for Redrix and then the Rumble for
Lewis. Yeah,
I did some Rumble.
Well, I forget all the steps for those weapons, but yeah. And I did a lot of Rumble, even on PC, when I was working on, I think, Recluse or some other quest. I actually don't mind if there's a Crucible step that says just get kills or do something. And if I can do it in Rumble, I actually prefer that. It seems to work for me, maybe because on the PC side, no one likes to hop into Rumble. But I do really well, actually. And maybe it's because I can focus on my own encounters in a 1v1, and I'm not getting distracted by all this other stuff that's going on, if that makes sense.
Yeah, for sure. Because actually, hilariously, I was surprised that I was doing as well as I was for all these steps, because I normally have a podium finish in Rumble.
Okay, yeah.
Which I wouldn't have really guessed, you know, before jumping into all that. I guess I'm decent enough to at least be number three most times, unless I'm just completely screwing around and don't care. Because let me tell you what, it was a noticeable difference going into Rumble for Lunas, considering Felwinters had released.
Oh, I bet.
So, I was getting boned by many a Felwinters for that time, and I only needed three matches, so I really didn't care.
So Felwinters is out. I have not stepped in the Crucible since that. I can imagine it's just, we know it's a good weapon for what it is. I don't care to hop in right now, but if I did, I guess just the encounter is still something like a fusion or an auto, if you can get on them quick enough before they get to you with the shotgun as usual, right?
I mean, yeah, mentality is about the same. As has been tested, it basically has the best out of shotgun range to a degree, because with the way it works, it can push out its range of lethality by an extra meter.
Yeah.
But then again, it's only an extra meter. So if you're actually good at combating against shotgunners and can see them coming, you can still combat against shotgunners.
Yeah, that is true. And that is something that I used to be able to do fairly well when Arentil was a little more in its heyday, especially on the PC side, because that could just map from far, far across.
Oh, yeah.
But then I was getting annoyed with some of the Mindbenders guys, And now I can't even imagine with Fell Winters. I'll have to see what that range is when I start getting tagged with it.
I mean, so. Possibly, from things I hear, possibly, like, very inconsistently, but, like, 9 meters. So,
but, well, it's all good.
I mean, it's, but also, on the other side, using it is kind of nice, because the shot package, as many people have theorized, thought it would make the pellet spread even more, or even smaller. Doesn't it actually makes the RNG of the pellet spread almost always perfectly consistent. Like, there's just very, very little variance in how the pellets end up going, so it really makes it really kind of satisfying to use on the other end, because if you're within range, like your normal range, and you pull that trigger, the only reason they're not dead is if you miss.
Gotcha. Well, I mean, yeah, and it would be fun to use. I got to use it some, because it's probably not as much of a reason to use in PvE. I mean, I'm sure it's good enough there, but there's other things, like if you just want the high DPS, like maybe accuracy or something. But I definitely need to test this out some before I just kind of forget about it and throw it in my vault.
I mean, it does have Vorpal Weapon on it, so it can potentially do some damage in PvE.
That's true. There's just, yeah, there's a lot of choices there. What input do you have about the lore? And I also heard that there's some, as you use the weapon, you can get some additional lore with it, some pages.
Yes. It seems to be, I've gotten like 2 or 3, but it seems randomly on each kill, you get a lore page.
Yeah, I mean, I was reading about that. It seems pretty cool.
Yeah. That story... But yeah, that story is kind of a rarity in Destiny lore, and the fact that it basically finishes out like the story of Fellwinter, the character. Basically, it pretty much lays it all on the table for you within that book.
Yeah, I'd heard good things about it, and I always mean myself to read the lore in more detail, and then I just get like, I don't have time for this. But I always appreciate people that give me the Cliff Notes versions or let me know what's going on. So I know Destiny has a lot of good lore if you just take your time and look for it. And
for sure.
I don't know, has anyone seen, so even though Destiny Ghost Stories podcast isn't really actively going right this moment, one of the members, Scooby DZ, puts out this timeline chart. Has anyone seen that before? It is the most amazing thing. I'll have to post it in our Discord sometime. And I know he updated even recently with Fellwinter stuff.
I'm wanting to say I've come across the Timeline Project.
Yeah. It's
very nice.
That's the type of stuff. I love the visual representations of, like, okay, here's this, and this happened then, and this happened then. And I know we have our, like, 10-hour YouTube videos that Bife has done, but it's also nice just seeing a chart sometimes. You know, you can kind of see what came when.
Exactly.
Well, we better move on a little bit just so we don't have technical bad luck tonight. But I kind of wanted to talk about just quickly the TWAB, and then we have some great community questions, and then we can just see where our show goes from there. But you know, a lot of people are still discussing about the weapon sunsetting, and I don't know all y'all's opinions, but mine's still the same. But I just even want to say more so, like, we don't even know all the details. I seem to remember something with the Big Last expansion, and they were saying, this is coming. Some people were, like, upset. And then, like, within two, three weeks after that, they clarified some things, and then people weren't as upset. So my point is, let's be patient. We can see how this all plays out. It's okay to have concerns, of course, but it's probably a little better to not stress about it too much right now. And then when it actually gets released, if we still have concerns, that's a good time to talk about it. It's not like we can say, well, they better do this, they better do that. I'm sure they've thought of 99% of those better do things that we're pretending we can think of. So
more than likely.
Yeah, more than likely. Anyways, this latest TWAB gave us two kind of categories of information. We have information on reload weapon perks. And we don't need to go through all the details, but if there's anything interesting that either of you wanted to add, that's great. But to me, if I'm understanding this correctly, it seems like it'll be more nuanced. Like some things might get some very, very slight, like 0.1 second nerfs, but then other things will have more ability that if you play your cards right, it'll actually be a buff. I don't know if you've, Sin or Dez, have read into the details at all.
Yeah, I totally skimmed over the TWAB this week.
No worries, I was just wondering.
I have read it, and like you said, it does seem more nuanced. Because a lot of the reload, I mean, one thing that they did confirm in the TWAB, I will say, to put it out there, is the fact that the reload stat itself, Bungie basically has confirmed in this TWAB, there is a cap to that. And when you have something that, like Outlaw, that right now, when it procs, it gives you plus 100 to reload stat, most of that is wasted if your weapon has at least 50 reload, which there's a actually a decent amount of weapons that have above 50 reload.
That makes sense, yeah.
Yeah, that doesn't seem to be, because like Outlaw is being dropped down to 50, so it doesn't look like that's going to be changed a lot. But even the one thing that they are changing is like the what they call multipliers, which help it feel faster even at cap, because it like speed the multipliers, if I'm reading right, speed up the animation. Thus,
that's the feeding frenzy, right? If I'm reading this correctly.
Well, I mean, even Outlaw is getting like a 0.1% change in its multiplier, which, and then yes, Feeding Frenzy is getting an entire change.
Yeah. Okay.
To where it's going to be working in stacks, which I think their example said by three stacks is as good as Outlaw, and it can stack up to five times.
Yep, and with four plus stacks, it's the fastest reload in the game, except Alloy Meg.
Exactly. So basically, as far as reload changes coming, TLDR is Outlaw is going to be the best PvP reload. Feeding Frenzy is probably going to be the best PvE reload.
Yeah, I think that's good. Can we also say, like, in a way, not that it's like, there's two different tunings going on, but this is great news for me when you can have a weapon that can have can work, you know, a class that can work different ways. I mean, you already kind of have this. I don't know why I'm saying it, but like it just seems like, okay, this is good news. It can work great in both PvE and PvP.
Oh yeah, for sure. And like I said, a lot of these changes, well, everything except Outlaw will probably feel worse, but then again, at least from what I'm reading, a lot of it's kind of justified. Because I think one thing that's getting hit the worst is rapid hit, which sucks, but at the same time, it's kind of fair because all you need is a precision hit to get a really big reload bonus.
Mm-hmm.
And rapid hit does feel kind of dumbly good right now, so it's kind of fair.
Yeah. And as always, these are kind of like we usually learn about some kind of slight nerfs or moderate nerfs, however you want to count this, before a new season comes up. And they're just kind of telling some of these now and changes that some ways it's a nerf, some ways it's a buff, depending on how you're looking at it and how you want to use it. And they also said fixing an issue where perks that grant partial weapon ammo do not respect shot count for burst weapons. So this means that these perks will now work correctly on pulse rifles, fusion rifles, and burst sidearms. So these perks will be more common on those weapon archetypes in the future, such as slideways, slide shot, ambitious assassin, substance overflow, lead from gold, and clown cartridge.
All the great perks.
Yay. All the great perks. And some general reperk retuning. Yeah, I don't know. We need to go through all this unless there's any that sticks out to you.
I think as far as perks go, the biggest thing was the least that stuck out in my memory was the reload perks, honestly. And
yeah,
it's going to take some getting used to, but I don't see long lasting harm, I guess.
There's going to be two new Iron Banner perks. They told us the name, but they didn't tell us what they are yet. Iron Grip and Iron Gaze. So that'll be, I suppose, interesting. And
with shotguns. I think they may have announced that, was it Dynamic Sway Reduction is being added a stability bonus to it as well, instead of just accuracy?
Yes, 10 stability over time in addition to accuracy.
Yeah.
This says this is way more powerful than it sounds in parentheses.
Yeah, I mean, basically 10 stability, I mean, they say it's way more powerful. But I mean, 10 stability is basically kind of what you need, in my opinion, to feel a difference in stability. Mm-hmm. I feel like usually in my experiences of shooting walls, yeah. Because I was one of those guys.
And here we go, some PvE goodness. Slug shotguns are underused in PvE, so they're increasing PvE damage by 30%.
I know an individual that's going to be very happy about that.
Yes. I know. I think we talked about that some. High impact pulse are underused in Crucible. Yeah, we know that, of course. They decided to soften the TTK a little bit from damage per bullet from 21 to 22. Changes from 6 crits to 5 crits in one body. Bows, PvE versus miners, 10%. I'm trying to see what that'll ultimately be. Usually I want to see a number like 20-30% before I notice difference. But
I think they explained that the overall goal is just to be able to one-shot the miners.
Okay, well that's, yeah, then if that's all you need is the 10%, then yeah, you're good.
It's probably still going to take a headshot, but I think that's probably the magic number to basically be able to take down, I'm going to say, for example, an Acolyte. Mm-hmm. Instead of having to shoot them twice, which does feel pretty bad for a bow.
It does. So that's good. That's good. We know we have a few people in the Discord, too, that are bow lovers. Hello, Link. So hopefully that'll be nice. I know other people, too. He came to mind. All right. A couple other things. They're looking at some other archetypes, but it'll be further out in Season 12. So we don't need to go over that. But let's talk briefly also about Decrypting the Future and the World Loot Pool.
World Loot, woot, woot.
Loot. They give us a big list here. So the World Loot, this is weapons that will drop from any activity, correct? It's just kind of a big pool for everything?
Exactly. I think like generic rewards and engrams will decrypt these weapons.
Mm-hmm. Starting in Season 11, it will be curated both for relevance and overall size to strike a balance between number of rewards and the change to get us off after drop. Every season gear from previous seasons will be added, and any gear that would no longer have a max power level greater than that or equal to the current season cap will be cycled out to ensure that drops are power relevant in the current season. To me, that sounds like, and I could be wrong, but they're still allowing weapons to come in that will only be relevant for that season. I mean, like you can infuse it to power max that season, but maybe not next season.
Potentially, I feel. I think the world loot won't give you a disadvantage is what they're going for, I feel.
Yeah. Could be wrong. So basically, the past 4 seasons, if theoretically the power is relevant for a year, so 4 seasons ago will still be relevant based on infusion up to that power level for a year. That's what the world drops would be, basically, yes. Because you can't get anything prior to that because it won't be able to infuse up to the max power level. So they're going to cycle it out after it's
after the maximum fusion reaches.
Yeah, and I guess that makes sense because it's not. This is a fairly big lift. It looks like about 30 or I didn't count it, but 30 or so weapons. And of course, that doesn't mean they're going to have 30 weapons that are brand new for season 11 that are going forward for a year. They have to obviously have some older stuff too. So I there's nothing really too concerning. I just was trying to understand how it all worked. I mean, we see weapons in here like main ingredient. So you could get, I mean, I obviously already have main ingredient, but yeah, you, if you didn't have it or you get it again, we know that main ingredient will still be, sunsetted at the end of season 11, beginning of season 12, meaning that you have it, you can still use it, but you can't level it up with the season 12 level or higher.
Yeah.
But we do have, we were, Desi, we were talking about, we have Nature of the Beast, which is the Last Wish hand cannon.
Yeah, and is actually pretty freaking good, as I found out trying to get headshot kills in comp.
It is. I forget about that one. Now, we also heard that Last Wish and Garden of Salvation will have a, they didn't tell us details, but they said it will have a much higher, a different sunset cap. So we can only assume that Nature of the Beast, since it's a Last Wish weapon, will be able to infuse higher even into season 12, 13, and longer. So that's some good news that some of these weapons, it's interesting news too that it's a world drop, so you don't have to go right. even into the raid to get it.
Yeah, I think this, I didn't really think about this until like maybe 10 minutes ago, but I think this kind of might help the response to a lot of people saying, you know, well, if weapons are getting sunset, then, you know, make sure that we have weapons that are good, you know, to be able to choose from. Mm-hmm. And like I said, Nation of the Beast, it's a really nice hand cannon. Even by today's standards, it feels really good. So I think this might kind of be their way of like using the world loot to keep up weapons to kind of fill those missing slots if needed. I almost feel like,
yeah.
I can't say for certain, because sadly, I don't work for Bungie.
It makes sense, yeah. So undoubtedly, there will be some new weapons that come out this next season, but these are the lists that are just the, quote, easy-to-get weapons just for playing the game, just any activity. You have a chance of getting any of these weapons. You don't have to go into the raid anymore to get Nature of the Beast. You can just get it anywhere.
Which, chances are, it's probably still going to be better to go into Last Wish to try and get a nation.
Yeah, that's true, because this is a fairly big list. And but still, if you're just playing a lot, and you could get it, I'm sure. You know,
yeah,
the
potential is there at the very least.
I mean, nothing too concerning. I had heard some, once again, some rumblings this week, you know, that, oh, people are salty about stuff. Who knows? I don't even care. Let's move on. No, it's good to be fair to all concerns and whatnot, but boy, there's nothing that they've talked about the last several weeks that make me super concerned. There's only things that make me feel very, very baby minor concerned at the most.
I think everything will be fine, honestly. It'll have a way of working out, and honestly, I think the power changes that they're making and cycling weapons out, it's a way to keep the game fresh without having to make a new game. Because at the end of the day, here's what will end up happening. If they make a new game, none of the crap that we've had to go and grind for would be there anyway. So, you know, it's, you know, I think we'll be fine. Everything is awesome.
Yeah, sure. I do feel like in the end it will probably work out. But I do have the moderate concern that kind of mimics some people to the fact that, you know, with a lot of weapons getting sunset because they haven't really had to focus on or really, you know, had to focus on bringing in new weapons because there was no sunsetting, that at the very start, there's going to be a lot of like lacking representation of weapon archetypes to use after sunsetting.
Yeah, that was definitely a very valid concern. And I still think that there's a good chance that this expansion all along was going to be, that comes this fall, super large, which is a large amount of weapons. And most of those gaps will be filled. That's just my guess. It's not like we know this will for sure happen. I also guess what could happen is they have to be aware of this too. They have to come up with a plan to cover the archetypes to have enough bows in the game, or tell us, sorry, we're sunsetting bows in general. You know, they have to one way or the other have a plan here. So I think they're, but my guess is their plan actually is to bring in a lot of stuff come fall.
I mean, it's potential. And like I said, it's a moderate concern for me, but also at the same time, I'm still not super worried about it because we're going to see what happens when it happens.
Yes. And then we're going to have fun, and then we can complain if we need to. Of course, we don't ever complain too bad on this podcast. All right.
That's my biggest complaint, and it's not even really a complaint. It's just...
Oh, yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, we're happy that we finally have Felwinter's Lie. They fixed that, and we have some interesting stuff coming, and these next two TWABs will definitely be interesting, too, because we are coming close to about 2 weeks left in the season, so by the time this podcast gets released, it should be even just one more week till we get a trailer for the next season and a lot more information. So excited about that.
I'm super stoked to see what happens after the Almighty gets resolved.
Yes. You know, we were hearing that the leading into the summer, it's just things are supposed to be crazy. Like, we don't have no idea what's coming. Like, there's got to be, I hope this isn't just like all talk hype. There's got to be some interesting stuff that goes down at the last hour of this season or beginning of next season. They were like, whoa, this is actually pretty cool.
And this is stuff that they've been hype or kind of hype talking for like a year, though.
Yeah, I know. They
don't normally do that.
I know. And I think some people had the wrong impression that it was like even supposed to be like super hyped even by now. I don't. Maybe they said that, maybe they didn't. I thought it was just going to be coming at the end of this season, next season. But nonetheless, I have a good feeling there will be some big stuff coming. We'll see. Even if not, I'll still be moderately happy with the game. No, we love the game.
There'll still be plenty of raids to do and
plenty
of other things to catch up on.
Yeah,
like one thing I wasn't sure. Mm-hmm. Are they keeping the Conqueror badge? Is that only good through the end of the season, or is that carrying over till next?
Ooh, good question.
I have no idea.
That's the one where you do all the Nightfalls, right? The Grandmaster Nightfalls.
Yeah. I'm close to getting to 1025, and I kind of want to go for it if possible. So in the next couple weeks, maybe towards the end of the season, like right at the end of the season, maybe knocking it out.
Well, anyone who's listening that knows the answer to that, let us know. And I may go into that too. All right. Well, let's get into some. We really want to thank a lot of people who have joined the Discord and the clan lately. And along with that, we've been getting some great questions in our Discord channel. That's labeled for feedback and commentary and questions. We definitely appreciate the questions. We've never really on the show made this like super heavy, like give us your questions every week, but I do like that. So maybe we can start pushing that more because it gives you all something to know that we want to talk about. And it was kind of interesting. A couple people actually brought up the topic of LFG this week. So I will go into a couple of those. We have one from Doc. And he says, Destiny's end game is the friend game. I was wondering if you had any thoughts on the state of the LFG community and how often you frequent it or how you manage your own. What do you think, guys? Sin, do you like the friend game?
I do like the friend game. And I stick to Discords for my friend game.
Yeah, I was about to say, I don't think I've actually either used or really had to use LFGs since, like, you know, before the 100 or 100.io, I think it is, since that became like a popular thing to use. Mm-hmm. So I've been out of like the LFG conversation, I guess. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I mean, and this, just to give a little background, we've had an episode in the fairly recent past. I had this pulled up here, but it was with GoHawks. Yeah, episode 46, to LFG or not to LFG, know what to do with GoHawks. And we had a great discussion about it, and my opinion had typically been pretty against trying LFG. GoHawks gave some great input that he had had some pretty good experiences with it, and we gave tips on how to, you know, have your best luck when trying to find someone or join a group. And admittedly, lately, like, we had to LFG in the raid we did at Crown of Sorrows for one person at the end, and it went fine. And so, you know, I'm sure GoHawks would be glad to hear. And I know Helios does a lot of LFGing through the 100.io, but I've had some good experiences lately, way more than in the past, where they were more than 50% of the time bad experiences. But yeah, but with this Discord and this community that we have, luckily we very rarely even have to worry about it. If you guys, yeah, like Doc and Grill, and we'll read Grilla's, you know, Golf's comment here next. But like, boy, this is such an awesome community. We very rarely have to LFG, so luckily we don't have to worry about it too much. Grilla Golf says, hey, how you doing, Matt? What's the worst yet memorable LFG moment you've ever had? For me, we found a guy for King's Fall who could not make the ships, and literally lost his mind when we wanted to pull him forward. See, that's funny, because usually I thought it was the other way around. It's like, people are like, come on, guy, you can do it. He's like, no, just pull me, just pull me. But that's funny. I guess this guy did not want to get pulled.
Yeah, that's a rare fish. Also, shout out to GG. Love you, man.
Yeah, shout out. Hey, thanks for joining the community recently. We're glad to have you here. Thanks for the question, for sure.
And yeah, we're probably going to get a lot of very strange questions from this man.
Bring them on, seriously. Bring them on. Or is that, or you're like, no, don't. You don't know what you're saying, Kingsley.
I mean, I'm just saying, he's kind of famous for it. Just saying.
Do you have any crazy LFG moments? Does like crazy, like, oh, like cringe ones?
To be honest, I mean, I know it's an incredibly dull answer, but actually, to be honest, if I did, I think I've like blocked them out of my memory entirely.
Yeah,
because I cannot actually actively think of one. I do know for an LFG matchup, there was this like UK kid that we brought in who was really great. It was in King's Fall back in D1, and I think it was the Fogoth or Golgoroth. I think it's Golgoroth. Anyway, one of the Goths, the spider creature. I think his challenge was new. So we ended up LFGing like a few people to try and get that challenge done. But there was this one UK kid. It was so weird because I had heard of this mentality before, but I'd never encountered it. And they were just very like, it's like, did you have a Gjallarhorn? Did you get your Gjallarhorn? Did you have to buy it, or did you catch it out in the wild? I like thinking about it like that, like you're catching a wild animal in the out in the its environment. And I'm just like, excuse me. So yeah, that's about as crazy as I can remember.
Yeah, I don't know if I can think of like my craziest one. I've had some crazy ones, but one that just comes to mind right now is sometime within the last 6 months to a year, had a hankering to do a D1 raid where I don't know if I didn't have a Guardian Hub community yet or what, or no one was available, but I did an LFG for just a normal mode Vault of Glass. And I said, you know, chill run. We just want to experience it. It's been a while. So even though I said all those things, like, one guy came in, just tried to take control of everything. He's like, okay, come on, guys, let's get moving. And like, we're like, he's starting the counters before everyone's ready, and we're done. And he's like, everyone, let's jump down the quicker way. And I'm like, no, I want to experience the tunnel way, you know? And I did say I want to have a chill run or experience the raid. Like, right. Did you not read any of that?
Hold your horses. chill out before you get booted.
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes you really wonder. All right. And then, Troll Jort 7, but Helios says in the Discord, yeah, it's a time of the season where there's not too much to do except complete quests or play the friend game. So LG for raids or even Crucible is a topical thing. He just wanted to tell us again how the 100.io is still highly recommended if Discords are quiet. Yeah, that's true. You know, the built-in, the Bungie LFG app is not horrible, but I do want to say, like, I feel like when I have used the 100.io in the past, there's ways you can massage that, and maybe just the people that know about that and join that, maybe you're a little more experienced or older in age. They don't tend to be like the crazy kids that just like, oh, this is my first LFG. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just going to take control of everything. So I do have to say good things about the 100.io also, even though I haven't used it too much recently. Well, that ends our questions for the week. Oh, there's an extra question. Late breaking news. Sin, why are you such a pleb?
Because things. That and my wife will not quit clacking dishes to my left ear. And she's going through a bunch of stuff for a yard sale pile. And she's doing it with a smile, like she's giving me the finger over there, just like with that smile.
That's awesome. Well, we never claim to have the most professional podcast, but we have fun. That's why we can keep it going. Oh.
Okay. I'm dying over here. Oh, God. That's just too funny. Yeah. Not to laugh at your misery, but oh, my God, it is hilarious.
Misery does love company, though.
Well, what are you looking forward to doing in the game these last couple of weeks, guys? I mean, raiding for me, any quests or last-minute things you're trying to get done in the game, Des, for this season? Anyway?
Honestly, I think I just finished the last thing I was really looking to do immediately. I guess my greatest triumph was, in fact, getting Luna's.
Yeah.
I actually ended up grinding the last third of a step I had for solar kills, and then the headshot kills I ended up doing solo in comp. So I didn't actually fall out of Fabled when I finished it. So I was able to finish it out just entirely once I actually got the last headshot kill. So that was my personal triumph, was just not falling out of Fabled so I could finish the quest like right then and there.
That's nice. Yeah, that's nice. Sin, did you get your strikes one done yet? I know I had I think I had to get I was at 99% for points. I need to hop in for one last one myself. I mean, it's not a big thing I care to finish, but might as well since I'm so close.
Yes, I ended up finishing it while I was going for the shotgun kills for Felwinters. And once the strike was completed for me, I ended up switching to Castellum and then for EP to finish that off. But yes, strikes is done.
Nice. Well, maybe I'll hop in it to finish mine. We will see. Well, for this week, I think that's what we have in the books. We definitely have some stuff to look forward to. Like we said, coming up fairly soon. Please let us know if you have any questions that you want us to talk about on the show. Add them to our Discord channel. We love the questions. Keep them coming. And also, any topics in general, any guests that you want us to try to hit up, we can always try for that also. And also, please feel free and let people know about our clan and Discord. It is getting a little more full, but we love for people to join. Get everyone in under the wire, right? And then we'll have to start charging, Sin.
Yeah. Share the Discord, or as we used to say back in the day, share a podcast with a friend.
Yeah, I did mention it's it doesn't show technically as open anymore, but we are definitely 100% open for our clan. We just set it as approval, meaning that we just need to make sure you actually join the Discord first and we know who you are in reference to the clan, and then we will let you right in.
For sure, which hilariously, I was actually shocked whenever I joined that it was open, because it's like, yeah, I'll just go ahead and, you know, set it up and it'll send for approval, and it's like, oh, you're in. It's like, oh, crap. Well, surprise.
Hit me to revert. No.
It's like, surprise, I'm here. Crap.
Yeah, I mean, we wanted to be very welcoming at first, but it's kind of crazy how as you get more full, you need to make sure that everyone is still wanting to be in there, but it's no worries. We are very, very happy for everyone who's joined the Discord. And remember, you don't have to discuss a lot. You can just introduce yourself and then lurk. That is totally fine. We all know that people will go away from the game at times, and no problem, man. Just stay in the Discord if you want. Come back later when you're ready to play the game again, and we're glad to have you here.
Join for the game, but stay for the friends.
Yes, and hopefully we'll get more pictures of food and TikTok videos to keep everyone interested.
Ugh, definitely went down that Carol Baskin bandwagon again tonight. God, I need to watch Tiger King.
Yes, get that out of your system so you can be done.
I know.
All right, well, I have a crazy dog at my door, so we better start wrapping up here all the way. But please also feel free and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcast. It helps us get found, and we will read the review on the air. But other than that, we will have our outro. Sin, where can the lovely listeners find you? I'll mix it up this week. I'll go Sin first.
Well, how am I supposed to do my cool Kingsley? Take your dogs at the door.
You can still do that. You'll see what will happen.
Okay. You can find me at twitch.tv/SinMedia, Sin is C-Y-N, and over on Twitter at Sin_Media. Des Raven, where can they find you?
You can, of course, find me in the Discord, hiding in the lurking shadow from time to time, so come join me. But you can also find me on Twitter at DES_Raven. So Kingsley.
That was beautiful. Thank you so much. See, he knows how to roll with it, Sin. You can find me as Kingsley Mac, or you can find me as McKingsley on Twitter. Anyone who knows me knows that's a joke. It's MC Kingsley. And on Twitch, I'm Kingsley Mac. Everywhere else, I'm Kingsley Mac. It's just Twitter, I'm McKingsley. If you don't know how to spell that, too bad.
Just type it in Kingsley.
You can find our. I know, I'm in a funny mood now. You can find our show at our lovely website, theguardianhub.com. Yes, we have a great website, and it's just the podcast hosting website, but I'm glad we have an actual domain. And then you can find us on Twitter also as The Guardian Hub. So please, as always, continue to listen to us. We know there's many Destiny podcasts out there, so we really, really appreciate it. And have a good week. Goodbye.
Later, man. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye.